Hello, everybody. This is Anthony Bionis from Mission Star Podcast. And if you enjoy listening to us, not only on the website, but also on iTunes, be sure to check us out on Stitcher as well. Stitcher is an iPhone, Android app, also on other smartphones. You can download for free, and also registration is for free, too. It's an app that you can listen to any podcast that is on there without ever downloading a file. When you register with Stitcher, be sure to put in promo code MissionStart or Conover or both, and you get to automatically be entered into a $100 prize every month from Stitcher. So be sure to check us out, support us, and we'll support you guys.
Hello, everybody. This is Anthony Bionis from Mission Start Podcast. And, I'm kind of tired right now, but it's okay. I'm here. But anyways, with me today, we have... You know, it's funny, Zay, I know you by your, didn't you come on our website, Fright, but I don't actually know your real name.
My name is Jeremy. I helped out with the Anime Expo podcast, and Fright's the name that's most commonly known to people around the circles.
Right, right. Oh, yeah, Jeremy, you're my Facebook. Wow, how did I forget that?
Because I'm forgettable.
Yes, maybe, or that, or I'm just still waking up. You just went to Comic-Con in L.A. Now, I've heard a lot about it. I had some friends that went to Comic-Con, and just a few questions. Like, I know this is a comic book convention, but, like, is this fairly new, or has this been going on for a while?
As far as the convention cycle, it's very new. It started just last year. It was a brainchild of apparently, I may have this wrong, but a brother and a sister. And they suddenly came up with this concept, but they were lucky enough to land some pretty high-profile guests for their first year, like Elvira and Stan Lee and a few other notables. You'll have to excuse me because last year was so hectic for me. My memory is a little hazy on details. But what happened was they put it together so quickly that all the L.A. Convention Center could offer them was Kensha Hall. It's basically a substitute dealer's hall. But as you walk around, you notice all the paint lines in the ground that indicate this is an extra parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it does have the setup for like a food court and stuff off to the side. So this is obviously they use it for whatever's necessary. And as you were walking around, it was kind of a weird dichotomy of watching this comic book convention go on while you're looking at the details of a parking lot. So you had this, it really did have this feeling like you just went to an underground convention. Quick, that guy over there, Superman, for $500, buy it before somebody else steals it.
Oh, wow, interesting. You know, the funny thing is, what I've heard is that this was Stan Lee's comic book convention, or it was called Stan Lee's Comic Cos. I was like under the impression that this is something that Stan Lee put together as a side thing. Am I wrong in that, or is it something else that the origins of this convention started?
Well, according to the Kamikaze website, it is the brainchild of this brother and sister, and yeah, they had Stan Lee as a guest in year one. Somewhere around November of last year, I want to say November, December, they announced that Stan Lee became a partner in the convention.
Oh, I see.
Right, to what degree, I don't know. They were never very clear on that in the press releases, but obviously it's going to help any convention regarding comic books when you can have somebody's legendary Stan Lee put their name on the moniker.
Right, I hear you.
And with Stan Lee, it seems that Elvira's been there both years as well. So whether or not she's some kind of silent partner, I'm not sure. It wasn't in the press releases, but she had a definitive presence both years.
Interesting. You know, what's funny is that, man, if I had the money and I had the transportation, I would definitely go. Just to see Stan Lee himself, because that man is not going to be around for forever.
Yeah, I mean, I adore the man. He's created some stuff that's just iconic even today.
Mm-hmm.
But as I zoomed in with my camera and got a honey of a shot I'll put on the website, it did occur to me that this man's got to be pushing his 90s. So I don't know. It's unknown how much longer he'll be around. He's vivacious. He's talkative. He's engaging. But... you know, Father Time catches us all sooner or later.
Yes, as in football terms, Father Time is undefeated. what was it? Now, when you were there at the convention, I mean, it was virtually in the same place as Anime Expo was.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the convention itself moved from Kensha Hall into the South Hall.
Mm,
It's literally the same place.
Interesting. How was the attendance wise? Like, was it a big enough presence to where it would be reaching near Anime Expo numbers, or is it more along the lines of something a lot smaller?
Ah, that's an interesting question, because as it started, it seemed kind of sparse. The dealers' tables were much further apart than at Anime Expo. So it's a little hard to draw a direct comparison, but as Saturday went on, it just became more and more crowded. So I would honestly say it is comparable as far as overall attendance. Not as many dealers, though.
Interesting.
Their 2011 numbers actually came in as a first-year convention of 35,000 people. So
damn.
It was already...
Damn.
Right.
Wow.
It's already in that area, and the guest list between last year and this year are so different that I would honestly say I'd be surprised if they didn't push somewhere between 40 and 45,000 this year.
Wow, that is very impressive, especially for its first convention. I mean, I would say that it has the benefit that because Anime Expo has been there for so long that any convention excuse that people will have to go to another convention that's right there in LA, I'm pretty sure they will take. That is very impressive numbers.
Oh, I can't deny it, and people keep saying how LA is one of the top entertainment markets in the country, if not the world. So the idea that a comic book convention couldn't survive here but could survive in San Diego is just impossible for me to comprehend.
Yeah.
So it was just a matter of somebody moving in with enough power to bring fans back to the table.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Now, of course, being a comic book convention, like, you have cosplayers of both genres, of not only comic book characters, but also you still have your anime characters, anime cosplayers there, just because, you know, comic book conventions range from not only American, but also Japanese as well. From when you were there, was it more, as far as like the cosplayers, like the equal amount of number, like was there more comic book cosplayers than there were anime cosplayers, or was there like an even mix between the two?
There was more comic book cosplayers when I was there. Video games was also represented very well. Anime was relatively sparse, but considering I'm turned into a regular attendee of Fanime and Anime Expo, going into Kamikaze, it was very easy for me to recognize a lot of the same faces behind those masks that I've seen before.
Awesome.
So the fan bases, I can't say if these are anime fans who happen to be comic book fans or if the fan bases have finally managed to come together and stop hating each other as much.
Mm-hmm.
But there was still a lot of strong costumes there.
Oh, yes.
It just did skew more towards comic books than you're used to seeing at an anime convention.
Right. And if there's anything that we've learned over the years is that, at least in L.A., I'm not quite sure in other places, maybe in the East Coast, Otakon, or even Japan even, like... In L.A., when somebody debuts a cosplay, like, it is, like, top-level, S-tier type of cosplay if it's most of the time. Or it's mid-tier or upper-tier in that status. Cosplayers that they do come out in force in L.A. are really good. Just in general.
Yeah, and the Kamikaze may actually be in a good position because the more I think about it, it happens in the fall. It's not so great because school's already started, so it's a little harder to get people away from what they have to do.
Right.
But considering it's right after summer, that means whatever big events the comic books have just finished, any industrious cosplayers are going to have literally cutting-edge costumes ready by the time Kamikaze rolls around.
That's awesome. I mean, that's awesome.
I'm adding a picture to the article now where they have two of what's called the Phoenix Five in Marvel's latest event.
Nice.
In pretty detailed cosplay, and these guys literally just debuted about 2 months ago.
That is so sick. I love it. I love the sounds of it. How many days was it, by the way?
It's only 2 days, but they fit in a lot, an intense amount in 2 days.
Really? Wow. I thought it was a bit longer, but go on.
Well, let me give you an example here. At 10 a.m. is when it started, so as you can imagine, things kind of ramped up from there.
Mm-hmm.
At 11 a.m. on the main stage was the Batgirl Spoiled stunt show. It was a stunt show involving one of the previous Batgirl characters. In another room was a spotlight panel on Yonan Vasquez. He created Invader Zim and Johnny the Homicidal Maniac.
Nice.
In another room at the same time was a Wild and Crazy Kids TV show reunion.
Wow. Are you serious?
In another room at the same time was a 1,000 Pounds Action Company. They showcase live action adaptations of anime, manga, and video games. And in another room at the same time was a steampunk panel regarding symbiosis between various subcultures and fandoms.
Wow.
And in another room at the same time was a thrilling adventure hour. They do stage productions of old-time radio. And in another room was a Doctor Who's Series 7 50th Anniversary and Beyond panel. That all occurred in 1 hour.
God damn. I mean, I can imagine they have enough rooms because they got that they got the space to use that Anime Expo has, and wow, that is insane. I'm kind of, man, I am just beside myself. They had a reunion of Long Crazy Kids.
I know, but I mean, as you go through the schedule, there is so much going on at this convention, it is hard to pick what you want to do. At 1 o'clock on Saturday, Stan Lee and Todd McFarlane were on the main stage to discuss their legacies and the future of entertainment, while Felicia Day was having a panel, while there was another panel regarding the Batgirl Spoiled show, who cut a basic... They basically filmed one of their stunt shows right there, and then later on in the day, they showed what it looked like cut together.
Wow. So basically, if you're a con attendee and you want to see, you know, most of these panels, like, it looks like you might miss them because they're going on at the same time.
Yeah, well, it's always fun to find something new that you didn't expect to see, but this is one of those things where, in my case at least, as a major geek, I would have to have that schedule in hand 2 days before and figured out where I want to be. Otherwise, I'm going to try to split myself in half to make everything I want to make.
Yeah, that or like have like your friend go off to like one panel and record it and then upload it later so you can watch it later.
Yeah, but of course there's going to be that debate. Damn it, I should have followed you.
That's true. Wow, that is insane. Since was there a good amount of lines at this con? Because like I know like Comic-Con and WonderCon are known to have like lines for almost everything, and I mean like almost everything. Was it the case for this one?
There were definitely lines when it came to seeing main events and guests. I didn't note a lot of definitive lines unless you were waiting for a special event like the zombie apocalypse. As far as waiting for guests, it was a little bit harrowing because the guests were sprinkled throughout the north side of that particular hall.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody was there early, there happened to be a line already building. It's like Julie Newmar, one of the Catwomen from the 1960s Batman series,
nice.
Was already set up by the time everything opened. So there was a line curling around the aisle. And as I walked by it, I could see how this was going to be a problem because two booths away, well, actually, the booth right next to her is Burt Ward, the 1960s Robin.
Oh,
and
shit.
The booth next to that is Adam West.
Oh,
you
shit.
Know, everybody. Yes, but those two booths had nobody in them yet. So as I watched the line, I could imagine people just start shoving them out of the way so they could start a line for when these guys arrive.
Right, right. Okay.
Right. And while Stan Lee's holding the inaugural opening ceremonies at the main stage, not far from that down the aisle is Todd McFarlane's booth, which already has a line building to it.
Right.
So it's – I don't think it's a fault necessarily of bad planning so much as just – I don't think anyone – foresaw how eager fans would be just to see some of the superstars they've gathered.
Damn. I mean, I can see that. I can really see just those type of lines being long and also being many for all these stars. Wow. Now, here's something I'm curious about. Now, food at conventions are always way expensive, and it's always been a problem for many congoers over the years, and Anime Expo did something quite smart in the past 2 years, or at least last time I was there, is that they had food trucks outside the convention center parked like in the kind of in front of the convention center and then across the street. Trying to remember, it's like an empty parking lot. Was there any food trucks there for this convention?
I did not see a one I actually left the building for lunch. They did have the food court of the convention center open, but anyone that's been there knows it can easily cost you $10 to $12 to get a small lunch out there.
Yeah, definitely. Okay.
This is still a very young convention, so the learning curve, I'm sure, is going to start spreading out now that they figured out they can do this on a regular basis.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's true. And with the numbers the impressive numbers that came out for the past 2 years, I would assume that they'll probably think about it more when years goes by, and the numbers go up. Cool. Now, when you were there, what were the most exciting things that you were looking forward to, or what were the things you saw?
Like I said, I'm an old fashioned nerd, so seeing Stan Lee in person is one of those things that just makes you weak in the knees.
Oh yes.
let alone there was going to be a podcast held by Kevin Smith, who he's turned from a filmmaker into a rather heavy podcaster these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he had a fanboy's wet dream by taking Adam West one-on-one for a special podcast.
Nice.
Right there on the main stage. I really wanted to stop down to see that. However, with three small kids and the fact that Kevin Smith tells more penis jokes than like the World Wrestling Federation,
yeah,
couldn't really slow down for that one.
Yeah, yes, I agree.
I did see Adam West in his booth. I tried to snap a picture. However, somebody saw me with a high power lens and decided to wave a pamphlet in front of my view.
Huh.
Yeah. Well, you know how it is. These guys get money by signing photographs with fans, and they didn't. They didn't want me to get any of my own photos.
Oh yeah, I hear ya.
But there was, Todd McFarlane. I've long been a fan of his. I have two copies of Spawn number one hidden away in a box.
Awesome.
He was real interesting to see. And as you walked around the convention center, you found special museums they set up to both Elvira and Stan Lee.
Sweet.
Yeah, it had various props from their careers or statues that commemorated some of the creations they've had during it. So you really did have a chance to see the breadth of their careers in one sitting.
Mm, awesome. That's pretty cool. So how were they exactly set up? Like, was there a part of the floor just kind of set up like these, these canopies, or I'm not like what exactly, how was it like set up these little museums for Stan Lee and Elvira?
Well, they had these roped lines that were set up between these columns of display cases where you could generally find either examples of artwork or props or statues based on characters that they created. And you were able to walk a line between these display cases. And depending on the time of day, if they were available, Elvira or Stan themselves were at the end of the line able to either chat with you or sign an autograph.
Oh, that
or
have is a... so cool.
Yeah. So the lines for those were insane even in the morning.
Wow. That is so cool. It's like, I want to say, like, do you remember at least back in the day, like, I know it's kind of weird, but do you remember back in the day where, whenever it goes to sleep, like, had this, like, the first generated, like, kind of 3D mazes that would pop on screen whenever your computer goes to sleep? And
Yeah, remember, I'm old.
Yes. that reminds me totally of that, where you're just kind of walking through, like, these, like, mazes, but in this case, like, you're just walking down a straight path, and you have, like, not only, like, artwork and stuff on the both sides, but, like, you have, the main course at the end, like, the light it did in a tunnel, in a way.
Absolutely, and the best thing about this is a lot of museums, as you can imagine, they don't hold modern attention spans with a lot of the distractions we've managed to create for ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Be it cell phones, internet, tablets, and all this. But comic book and sci-fi nerds, by habit, tend to be so detail-oriented. It is incredible to walk down these aisles and look and say, yeah, I remember when I first read that issue. I've never seen that version of that character.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's every nerd's dream, pretty much. Like, walking down that aisle and, like, seeing something new that you didn't know about, it's like, wow. Nerdgasm everywhere.
Oh, that, shaking hands with Megan Fox on a moment's notice, but, that's a whole different thing.
Yes, definitely. That sounds so sick. It was held in the Anime Expo, in the convention center.
Yes.
Now, the dealer's hall, just out of curiosity, or was it all one big room? Was everything set up wise?
Just about. The side closest to the Sky Bridge, to those that don't know, the South Hall of the Convention Center can be split up into three or four different halls with partition walls that are set up in the Convention Center. The entirety of the South Hall belonged to Kamikaze. They did put a partition wall up on the rightmost section by the Sky Bridge across this Pico, and they enclosed the zombie apocalypse in it.
Hmm.
It wasn't like it was curtained off or anything, but they definitely kept that side of the hall much darker for the air and for the kind of event they were putting on. But they had doorways that were just completely open, and you could walk in and out at leisure.
Right. I hear you. I hear you. Okay. So since everything was mostly in one big room, and I can assume it's – I mean, the room is pretty big on its own. Like, I've been there a few times, and, like, I'll say it again, at least during Anime Expo. Mm-hmm. Is that it is the biggest dealer's room hall I've ever been. It is like the size of two football fields. So I can understand why they would use that room specifically for that for the con. Okay, it makes total sense.
Yeah, but they didn't fill it up just with dealers.
Mm-hmm.
They basically put everything in one room. It made it, well, with the exception of panels, of course.
Right.
But
right.
It made it so easy to navigate and figure out where you had to be for just about everything.
Right.
And they did some of the most intelligent design that I could think of as far as Dealer's Hall, because the Artist Alley would stretch from the entire left side to about two-thirds of the way across the dealer section minus the Apocalypse.
Mm.
So you had this nice break in the middle of the dealer's hall, which made it easy to navigate, find your way, as well as it didn't make the artists compete as much since they had their own, they didn't have just their own section off to the side. A large amount of them were right there in the middle of everything.
Mm, wow. I see. So it sounds like, it sounds like they really made an effort to not make it only easier for people to walk around, but also to get from one place to another. Mostly what I wanted to get in one room, which is cool because like it reminds me of WonderCon because I did the exact same thing,
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is, at the back of the room was the main stage, so it's the most brilliant setup I've ever seen because it mirrors the same thing as a supermarket. I mean, you've been to a market. You put everything you want in your cart, and as you're standing there waiting for the numbnuts in front of you to write a check, you're suddenly staring at single servings, bottles of soda, you know, candy bars, other odds and ends you might need on the way out, but wasn't quite sure you could get.
Mm.
If you have a couple bucks, now you can get it. The main stage being set up in the back is the same way, because to get to it, if you have to rush inside, that means you're rushing past tables of vendors, and you see artists, and you see more vendors, and maybe you see a club you want to join, and then finally you get to the backstage.
Nice. That is awesome. So you've been, did you go to both days or just one day?
Unfortunately, I could only make one. It was just due to time constraints and the fact that, you know, the father of a family, you have some regular duties you got to be able to perform.
Oh, yes. I would say I would definitely understand, but I'm not a father. So, but yeah, I get what you're getting from. Out of that one day you went, what was your impression? What was your impression about it, about this convention? And are you excited to go to next year's convention?
I am actually excited to go to next year because walking around in here, I had a feeling I have not had in years. And that was walking around the convention, finding stuff I had never seen before, but I really wanted to empty my wallet to get my hands on.
Nice.
Give you a good example. As I was walking around the hall, I came across three-quarter size Fender guitars.
Ooh.
You know, guitars made for teenage and child hands.
Right, right.
That was somewhat interesting to me, and I rarely have I ever tried to play music. I'm not going to pretend that I can. But at the same time, as I'm staring at these things, embossed on the guitars are the images of Thor and Spider-Man.
Nice.
And Ghost Rider. Yes! And this is all this stuff that I don't know how to use, but I was really interested to buy it, $150 a piece, and put them on hooks on the wall.
Ah, so sick. Ah. Oh, man. Awesome. That's great to hear. Maybe when I'm down in LA, I should definitely go, because It's just one thing that, at least me being a nerd, is like I have to go see Stan Lee at least once. He's it's like one of my goals in life. Like it's one of my bucket lists as to where.
Well, like I said, I stood there listening to him speak to for a little bit about his latest projects regarding Power Entertainment or BAM Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
It's Power Entertainment. Excuse me.
Right.
And I took a picture of him. I went back to my wife. She said, "What did you get?" I showed her the picture. It was in my camera. She looks me right in the face and says, "That's like taking a picture of Odin."
Nice. Oh, that's so sick. Awesome. Let me see. I'm trying to think. What else was? Now the people that actually, the people there. I mean, like generally, people at conventions are pretty friendly. But did you run into any people that were like kind of an asshole, or was everybody like really, you know, cool with each other and just kind of cool that everybody was there, or how was that?
It's a little different from anime conventions and other places I've been. Maybe it's because it's so new. Maybe it's because it draws out between Stan Lee and other high-profile guest individuals who wouldn't usually go to these things.
Mm-hmm.
So I did find a lot more of the stereotypical television nerd, you know, tall, thin, quiet, walks with his head down for some reason in a hurry to brush past you.
Right.
You know, and I wouldn't call them specifically unfriendly, but possibly unsocial in certain degrees.
I see. Gotcha. Oh.
But that was made up by the vendors. I've said in my reviews of the Anime Expo the last few years that some of the vendors are either unhappy or unfriendly, and it unfortunately it does get passed on to the consumer half the time.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, the vendors were so pleased to see you, even if you weren't purposefully shopping. If you tried to walk by, they would actually try and engage you in simple conversation. My wife saw a t-shirt vendor who had all these clothes regarding, you know, macabre and occult things. Well, occult may be the wrong word. Gothic type characters, you know, vampires, werewolves, taps from Ghost Hunters, things like that.
Right.
And she's a big Ghost Hunters fan. So she said, "Look at this." And she pointed at a couple things. The vendor caught my wife's eye, started talking to her for a little bit. And I thought it was a sales pitch.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what a good salesman do. No argument there.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But instead of trying to sell them anything, she looked at my daughter and just said, "I think I have something in your size." And my next thought was, okay, now she's really going after me. So she pulls out a t-shirt, rips it out of the cellophane bag, gives a quick measurement to my daughter, and just hands it to her.
Wow. Just hands it to her? No.
Just out of the blue says, "Here you go. Here's a reminder of the convention." And my daughter was ecstatic. And of course, my son just looks at it and says, "Do I get one?" And the bargainer in me just says, "Look, kid, we're lucky to get this far. Don't." And then she starts digging again, and she pulls out a small, hands it to my son. They both got free T-shirts.
Nice. Wow.
I've been to the Anime Expo since 1993. I don't think I've ever gotten a free T-shirt.
Yeah, unless they like giving away with those freebies, just kind of lying on the ground. But
those are not the things I want to put on, because those are generally things like hentai tetsujin and everything like that. So
yeah, true. Wow.
But maybe I'm just not that cute.
Well, we're all a very cute, handsome guys. I mean,
yeah.
You're.
Give you an idea of how far this went. On the opposite side of the convention center, pretty much, or of the dealer's hall, my wife stopped in front of a table of a guy who had a sign above his head. You know, he had the headshots and a couple of signed photos. Wasn't hard to guess that he was some type of talent. And as she talked to him, she found out that this guy, his name is Daryl Gilliard. I may be pronouncing that incorrectly. Mm-hmm. He actually did voice work for anime.
Oh, wow. Really? Wow.
Yeah. He did Ghost in the Shell and Bleach. I didn't ask what characters, but what got my wife's attention was as they started talking about anime, she mentioned the word do rah, rah, rah. And he suddenly, his head perked up and he said, "You know, I was Mikado in that series."
Oh, sick.
Oh, she lit up, even though she's carrying a baby and I'm trying to kid wrangle. They get into this conversation. And by the time they're done, she's giving him a polite, "Well, thank you. You know, it was nice to meet you." And he suddenly says, "Do you have a camera?"
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And he just offered a photo right then and there.
Wow, that is awesome. Yeah. That is very cool.
Yeah.
No, You know what's funny? It's like I think I have a feeling of how this people there at the convention are, because if memory serves me right, and I'm comparing, because I've been to a lot of anime conventions over the years. It's no secret to anybody who listens to me over the years. And I've also been to like WonderCon, which is like the only comic convention I went to in a while. The difference between both in general is that at WonderCon, there are a lot of older people there, but they're a lot more mature and laid back. Anime conventions, you know, you got kids running around being stupid, but then you still got your mature, cool people, and everybody's friendly and whatnot, but it's just like, you know, you still got those dumb kids in there. But if I were to guess, from the sounds of what you, or the details you gave me about the people there, it sounds like it's the WonderCon type of, you know, laid back, more mature, just kind of, you know, everybody's chill type of atmosphere.
There may be a couple extra factors in here, because it occurred to me as we're talking, anime conventions, the special guests there, at least the Japanese ones.
Yeah.
They tend to be run by these almost militaristic type management who are very specific about rules of no cameras, no video, no talking to them. You walk up, you shake your hand, and you walk and you get the heck out of their faces.
Right, right.
Sci-fi artists and voice actors, they tend to be a little more engaging in the U.S. because they seem to be much more appreciative of the fact that you remember that they took part in this.
Good point. Yeah, yeah, that's
you know,
true.
And plus they don't have the, you know, they don't have the mean management with the armbang saying, okay, you've had your 2 seconds. Get out.
Right, right, right. That's cool. That's awesome. I really enjoy those type of conventions from the time to time to get away from hustle and bustle of other big conventions. I mean, don't get me wrong. I if I had the power and the money, I would go to every anime convention I could. Although
preaching to the choir, brother.
Although if I did, I'd probably be dead by halfway through. but I do like, not only from what you're telling me, but also I like, you know, the very chill, the very mature people that go to these comic conventions, which is awesome. That's awesome. I'll definitely try to go next year if I can. Your closing thoughts on the whole convention, and what exactly do you take away from this, and kind of what would you tell people if they wanted to go to this convention? Like, what exactly would you tell them, you know, why they should come to Comic-Con?
Well, it's a young convention. They do have their issues. Registration, according to a couple posts on cosplay.com, and I actually have it here for reading. Holy crap, line setup was beyond horrible. 2+ hours, ridiculous. They had people who prepaid and people who were walking up in one line.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Another poster right underneath said she was severely ticked off about line management. Actually, let me interject that I went through pre-reg.
Mm-hmm.
The line snaked through most of the South Hall lobby.
Mm.
And it took me only 45 minutes to get from that part of the line all the way up to the front.
Right, right.
After waiting for 2 to 3 hours in the Anime Expo, which not only has you moving slowly, but waiting out in the sun instead of indoors, this was amazing to me. So I wasn't quite sure why everyone was upset.
Right. I hear you. I mean, there's a thing of that. Yes, you get pre-reg, so like you have a quicker access to your badge than most people do. And I definitely agree that people who don't pre-reg or that have to stand in line, that line at that just to get your badge, I have not pre-reg, is long, and it's ridiculously long. I mean, I don't know if I would say it would beat Fanime this past year, because Fanime was ridiculous on both sides.
Well, it is kind of a double-edged sword that's hard to resolve, because pre-reg are your stalwarts. They're the ones who are helping you pay for the convention before you get there. But if you present at con registration with this huge line, all it's going to do is chase people away from the dealer's hall and make them wander around until they feel comfortable coming back.
Right, definitely. But that's good to hear that it wasn't much of a problem for you. It might have been for many others. But hey, this is a young con, as you said, and it's going to take another con or two to figure out how to work out all the kinks in the armor before they can define this convention as it is.
Absolutely. like you said, it's a young convention, but the framework for success is already in place. All they need to do is tweak some of the management and administrative details, and if they can keep the extremely high level of guests that they've gotten just this year, they are going to end up drawing an insane amount of people, and this could very easily turn into one of the largest conventions in the U.S.
Wow, that is a bold prediction. Very bold.
If I like something, I like it. But if you're able to stare at Stan Lee, Kevin Smith, Todd McFarlane, freaking Daryl from The Walking Dead, Elvira, Adam West, Julie Newmar, J. Scott Campbell, in the first day of your convention, it is hard to make something stupid enough to fail under those circumstances.
Now, the thing is, though, because now they set themselves up so well for this past convention, it's like, how are they going to top it next year?
I don't know. And this is one of those cases where you could easily argue that all they need to do now is bring in the movie studios like Comic-Con. I don't know if I want that, because the movie studios have created such an air of have to go that Comic-Con has become very competitive just to get through the door.
Oh, yes.
And Kamikaze has a lot of the same level of stars, almost completely accessible.
And a lot cheaper price. Yeah! Oh,
$30, where $30 is barely a day at Comic-Con, and at Kamikaze, that's your weekend.
Awesome. That is so sick. Oh, man. Now you get me excited, Jesus.
Yeah, I have done my job.
Awesome. Thank you for coming on to this podcast to talk about Kamikaze. Tell us where the internet can find you on the internet.
I am on cosplay.com as Freight. I'm pretty easy to find. Right now, I am perusing the boards of Anime Expo, Fanime, Anime Los Angeles. However, my next target for this year is the Pacific Media Expo.
Nice. PMX. Awesome.
And yeah, Vocaloid is returning to the U.S. and it's dropping at the PMX. So this may be the first time I've had a chance to see it.
Yes, please go. I had the regret decision of not going when I first came here, and I should have gone.
I just wish I could smuggle a strong enough camera in my pants to be able to get a video of what I might be seeing.
Oh, so many innuendos right now.
Fortunately, I'm not governor of California, so I shouldn't make that.
good stuff. Awesome. And you can find the con report of this convention that we've been talking about for the past 45 minutes on our website at www.missionstartpodcast.com. where you can find not only our con reports, but also everything about reviews, con reviews, video game footage, anime, and everything. All our social media stuff is there too. If you want to go check out our YouTube, our Facebook, our iTunes, our Twitter, everything is there. So you guys go check it out. And you can follow me at Defective Naruto on Twitter, where I post insane shit from time to time and just kind of stuff that makes your head scratching. So, yeah. Just in case you want to, follow me for that stuff, there you go. Anyways, thank you again, Jeremy, for joining me in this podcast.
Absolutely. And if anyone recognizes me at a convention, go ahead and hit me up. I will not stop. I will not yell.
Awesome. That's great to hear. And with that, I bid you adieu, and we'll see you all next time.